Hey y'all, it's Alante, and you're listening to Black and in Grad School, the podcast that helps women and people of color like you excel in this journey. If you're listening, I believe you are an aspiring or current scholar who wants to successfully navigate this process. By sharing my experience while pursuing my PhD and interviewing other Black graduate students or early career professionals, it is my hope that you can glean encouragement, advice, and strategies that you can apply to your journey. Thanks for listening. Before we get started with this week's episode, the Black and in Grad School website is up and running. There are free resources there, things that can help you, especially if you are applying to grad school and also if you are just trying to get more balance. So right now there are two free email courses available. I created this podcast and this platform to help you get through the process, and not just through the stories that are shared on the show, but also with real resources and information that will help make this grad school journey better. So I just want to kind of do another plug and let you know, check out blackininggradschool.com, which is blkingradschool.com. And this week's episode is all about, you know, how to take care of your business in grad school and providing a different mindset for the way that you navigate the grad school experience. That's really what Lance is like sharing with us today. And honestly, I couldn't think of another person to really share this type of insight. So I really hope that you glean a lot from it. And I will talk to you guys next week. Welcome, Lance.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. My name is Lance Bennett. I am a third-year PhD student in the fall at the University of Iowa. I'm doing my PhD in communication studies. Specifically, I study the role that emotions play in interpersonal interactions. And specifically, I look at this process called emotional contagion, which sounds sexy and sounds like a really fascinating thing. I think it is. And so, however, I did not invent the term. Someone else coined the term. But basically, it's a way of saying that people have the ability to infect one another with their emotions.
Wow. So, I mean, already I need to know how you got there.
Yeah, I actually got here. So when I first started grad school, or started my PhD rather, I knew I wanted to be an emotion scholar. But within the field of communication, I wanted to figure out, you know, where do I fit in? What is the niche that I can bite off and essentially say that's what Lance Bennett does? And so I actually had a really difficult time with this my first year to a year and a half in grad school. I really didn't know exactly where I was going to find my niche. And so, you know, I began to just think back over my personal experiences with people and just by watching other people, right? And so I actually went back to an email that I got from one of the professors now in my department. When I first applied to Iowa, I had an interview with four faculty. And in my thank you emails, I told everyone, you know, I'm really appreciative for the time. And this one professor, he wrote back and said, you know, we hope things work out with your application. Simply put, your motivation is infectious. And so that's what really got me thinking. Of course, motivation is not an emotion, but I began to think, okay, can I infect someone with my emotion? And so then I did a little bit more digging within, you know, I was like, there has to be a term for this thing, right? Someone has had to study this in some way. I can't be the first one to do it. And so found the term emotional contagion, did more research on it. And now I'm kind of at the point where I'm starting to develop the program of research in communication studies on emotional contagion.
Wow. Okay. So that's amazing, but I still want to take a step back. Like, how did you even know that emotions and that space was something you were really interested in? What piqued that interest?
Yeah, I think a lot of it went back to undergrad actually. And so And at my undergrad, we had to write a thesis. Like, that was everyone's requirement. And I began to look at interpersonal relationships. At that time, I was specifically focused on romantic relationships and the interpersonal process there. Then when I started my master's, I was like, I want to study jealousy. That's cool, right? And jealousy is an emotion, right? We know that jealousy refers to someone trying to protect what they do have, versus envy is trying to get something you don't want. And so people oftentimes interchange the two terms and try to make them sound the same, but they're two different things. And so a jealous partner, a jealous romantic partner, is someone who experiences negative emotions about this third party rival who may in actuality or just in perception be attempting to take one's partner away from them. And so that's how I kind of got on the emotion track. And so, but as I began to start the PhD, I was like, there is plenty of jealousy research in communication. And so at the PhD level, of course, you know, some things have to change in terms of your research agenda, in terms of what you want to do. And so I said, and that's when it really kind of clicked. I had to really figure out what it was from there. But emotions are something that I really value a lot. I mean, I think it's an important thing to talk about, and it's an important thing for just people to be aware of. You know, your emotions and how they affect other people is very critical. It's not just for grad school, but for business, for families, for romantic relationships, right? Yeah. And so when we look at our different personal relationships, you know, one's emotional state, we do know, can transfer to the other person, and thus having both individual and relational consequences. Yeah, and so basically that's how I got on the emotion track. And so I'm looking forward to more research that I'm going to do in the future. I feel like every day I have a new question that I want to answer.
Your research in itself is so interesting. I have now 1,000 questions about it, but that is not the point of our interview. But I really think that it's, I mean, really the work you're doing sounds so compelling and fascinating. While I guess it sounds like you kind of in the back of your head maybe always had the grad school idea, mm-hmm. and that kind of had that track, but what was the spark that made you realize, like, I'm going to graduate school?
Yeah, honestly, it came when I was a student at community college. And so I did my first 2 years at community college, one, because I didn't have really high grades in high school, and so I didn't really get into that many places. And another byproduct of having low GPA is I didn't get enough scholarship money. And so I was like, you know, I'm gonna go to community college. And so it was there that I really ironed out what I really tried, you know, what I want to do moving forward. And so I knew I liked education, right? I was like, I like the idea of education, and I like the idea of, you know, what the possibilities of learning more. And, you know, I was very fortunate. I had a professor who was teaching an honors class that I took. It was an argument and debate class. She introduced me to writing term papers, and, like, which may seem a little strange, like, term papers at community college, like, for an honors class that, you know, you write a term paper that's 25 pages long, and you submit it to a peer-reviewed conference to get accepted at community college. And so she asked me if I wanted to do this thing. And I was like, sure. I don't really know what conferences are yet. You know, I don't know what this really is, but it sounds like a good idea. And so I'll just say, yeah. Right. And so, you know, and she was very influential in that process too, because it was then I was like, how do you become a professor? Right? And so, like, how do you, you know, and I began to essentially interview all my communication studies professors, you know, at Delaware County Community College. And so I'll give a shout out to that too. Delaware County Community College in Media, Pennsylvania.
That's amazing. And really kudos to your community college and just for highlighting this. I remember that piece from your interview on Morning Joy because it was literally like, you know, I think a lot of times people have such negative connotations about going to community college first. And it sounds like it sets you up better than some people's experience at their 4-year university.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's like, shout out to your community college and to those who, you know, who are on that track or think that might be some sort of issue. No, look at Lance, he's flourishing.
I mean, when I first told people that I'm going to go to community college, they were like, that doesn't make sense. You know, I've gotten a lot of terrible advice about college selection. And this is something that I think people should talk about more, is that it's not, there's so many factors, especially for us as African Americans. I mean, there's so many factors that we need to consider. And so I didn't come from a well-off family. And so I had to really think about, one, if I move away to go to school, I had to think about my survival, right? How am I, sure, I may be able to get scholarship money to pay for the actual tuition, but what about actually living? Right? Because I didn't have a car. So, you know, wherever I went, I had to make sure there was public transportation, right, to get around to just do various things. And so I knew at that point that wasn't something that was going to be feasible. And so, but when I got on my feet after undergrad, then I knew it was time to spread my wings, so to speak.
For sure.
Yeah. And so I definitely feel that. Yeah. And so, I mean, I just want to say to anyone who's listening, like, you know, if you are, you know, not from a wealthy family and have financial difficulty, I mean, you too can get to where you need to be. It's just a matter of the moves that you make. And so some of these moves got to be put on hold for the greater good. And while you may not want to, it's just the best thing.
Touche. I can definitely agree with you on that. But it sounds like you had some strategies in place and you thought it through and were very realistic about your situation as well. So I think that's really amazing. Yeah. Had that type of insight at 18, because I certainly did not. I was like, cross the country? Yeah. Like, that was all I heard.
Right,
like,
right. Yeah.
So I know you're in Iowa, so... I mean, I have so many questions about your experience as a Black man in that space.
Yeah. 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 Run them down.
You know, like, you could just start with just like, what is your cohort, the makeup of your cohort? Are you the only Black person or no?
Yeah. I'm only Black person in the cohort.
What about the department?
Currently, I am the only Black person because we had a Black woman who just graduated in May. And so, yeah, I mean, that is what it is. But I will say, I do feel like being in Iowa City, it made me realize, you know, how to be able to work with our white counterparts to get what I need.
Okay.
And so, you know, and I ain't saying, Lord knows, I ain't saying white is right.
Okay.
Absolutely not. And so, but in terms of making sure that, you know, one, that I can get what I need, but also in some way leaving some type of legacy or some type of path for someone else coming behind me to get what they need.
Sure.
I think there are just certain things that you just have to do and knowing how to play the game. I'm all about playing the game and doing it better. And so I think it's all about putting certain people in place that can have your back. Because at the end of the day, it's not the idea that all white people are bad or all white people don't support your interests. That's not the case. But it's a matter of figuring out who does, okay, and using that as leverage. Because at the end of the day, You know, one example of this, and just happened to me last week, and I'm very grateful for this, is I was able to get an internship in the dean's office for my college, which is a big blessing. But all I simply did was, you know, email one of the associate deans who connected me to another associate dean, who connected me to another associate dean. And they discussed it among the deans of the college, and it worked out. And so, Wow. And so those are the things that I think we got to do. And so not only do I get to put the internship on my CV, but I also get to help in the effort of, you know, strengthening the rapport between minority students, minority grad students, and the university. Learn to do even better. Is because being that I'm from Philly, you know, I see black people all day, you know, walk down the street, you know, see black people anywhere. All right. But what I've learned to do is feel like, okay, here I am in this space. I know this is where I'm supposed to be. How do I make the best out of this situation? I think that in terms of being a black man in Iowa, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, there's some times when people don't get it. Your experience and your background, they will misunderstand you. I've had that happen on several occasions where, you know, I've been told that, you know, I'm being too direct, you know, but what I feel like I've learned through this process is the idea of making sure that I can, you know, reach people on certain levels to still do what I need to do. And essentially leveraging different people's personalities to make it work. But also knowing when something just isn't going to work and you need to remove people and replace them with someone else to do what you need to do.
So how do you do that part without it becoming crazy? I feel like a lot of people
have. Yeah. Without it becoming crazy. I think, like for example, I mean, I switched off one of my committee members, two of my members actually, and I what I did was, first of all, touch base with your advisor. That's number one, right? Got to always keep your advisor in the loop. Mm-hmm. But when approaching her about it, I didn't make it personal, but I just told her from the professional standpoint, here's the direction I'm going, and here are the people that I need, right? I ran all the information by my advisor, ran the information by the two people that I wanted. And then I, before emailing this other person saying like, you know, I would like to, you know, I essentially am going to remove you from my committee. I ran that email by my advisor too and copied her on the email. Right. And so one thing I feel like I've learned in grad school is to, you know, cover your behind. Mm-hmm. Right. Because what you say will get taken out of context. And so, and again, it's a matter of, as a minority student, making sure that you have all your ducks in a row. While it's a lot of brain work to do that, it usually pays off in the end, right?
Okay.
And so the idea that I had to make sure that things weren't crazy, I mean, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I anticipated going crazy, right?
Okay.
You know, I always hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, people have different personalities. People have different, you know, ways of thinking. And so I said, okay, well, here's how I'm going to do this. And here's how I'm going to say this. Right. I mean, I pondered crafting that email for about 24 hours and what I really wanted to say. Yeah. And so I just basically just said, you know, this other person who I would like has this expertise, and I see this being a part of my research agenda moving forward, and thus I need that person on my committee, and I'm thankful for your service.
Boop. Okay.
Right. I mean, right. Cause I mean, it really is no question. Right. It really, and that's one thing I feel like I've learned in grad school is like, as a grad student, you have more power in this thing than what many people think.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's very true.
I mean, to me, and I feel like, you know, as a grad student, someone who's in this program doing what I need to do, I hold the cards. and I deal them out as need be.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's not a matter of, you know, being a dictator in that sense, but it's a matter of controlling your environment in order for it to be beneficial to you. I think that's important. You know, I think that you got to really know how to, you know, keep things level, because, you know, because there's certain, because things are going to come up that are going to throw you off base. People, situations with class, you know, perhaps situations with your family back home, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's a matter of just keeping your head above water and just like doing the little things well, you know, while it may be a pain in the behind, I feel like it pays off.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that's amazing. And so it sounds like you've also just really taken some major agency, you know, been a self-advocate, and then just really taking, not even taking back, but just claiming and exercising your own agency, like to right. your advantage. So I think that's really amazing. And so I almost want to like get inside your brain a little bit. Like, it sounds like you really treat this like, you know, a business, and like this right. is personal, but mm-hmm. I feel like that's not 100% reality, right? Because these are still people. Right. And I've heard a lot of stories of, you know, somebody, because they got mad at somebody, you know, mm-hmm. taking it out on their grad student ultimately.
Right. Yeah.
Like, how do you, I guess, separate your thought process from those things?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a good question. Actually, one thing I have said several times, you know, in having conversations with my advisor, I always say, look, I ain't really concerned with people's attitude because this is a business, right? And so, I mean, I say that, like, you know, jokingly, right. I say that to him. But the truth is, you're right. I mean, while this is a business, there are people who come in who are in play. And so I think for me, what I try to always do is, and you know, I'm not perfect at it, but what I try to do is always make sure that I try to think about how this other person will receive what I'm saying or doing mm-hmm. before trying to do it. And so I think if you do it like that, you know, you can limit the potential for, you know, eruptions, yeah. right? And so while, you know, you can't control the other person's thoughts and patterns and what they'll say to you, you know, I think if you craft it carefully, it usually, you know, pays off. And so, and if they get mad at something that's perfectly crafted and something that you've given a lot of thought process to and gotten feedback about, then that's on them, right? But I think one thing I've tried to do with this in this process is be very calculated.
Okay.
I mean, that's just how I, you know, tend to think of things in general, but with grad school, be very calculated. And so basically, you know, with my CV, right, there's certain things I want on my CV that creates a part of the narrative that I want. Yeah. I think it's on you to go above and beyond in your program, right? Yeah. And so, and it's a matter of like just doing things that get you to the point where, you know, you are having, you know, you're in the room and you're able to pick up on certain nuggets of knowledge that other people aren't necessarily privy to. And so, for example, for our university, I have the honor of being on the provost search committee. So we need a new provost, and someone nominated me to be the grad student on this committee. Mm-hmm. And so this is a really high profile thing, which is great. Because when I first got the invitation, I ran it by my advisor, and I was like, this seemed like a really good opportunity. Seems like a really cool thing. I just don't know how much time it's going to take. Right. And I'm also really nervous about it because, you know, while I know what a provost is, I don't know the inner workings of the job.
Right.
And she said, okay, that's why you should do it, right? And that's why you should accept this thing. So that way you can learn about, you know, these things as someone who wants to be in higher education.
Yeah.
And I definitely appreciate that, because at the end of the day, she's entirely right. You should be learning about this whole inner how this whole enterprise works. And so I don't know. It's something that I'm really passionate about, learning these different, you know, parts of higher education. You know, while the goal is to master your field, I still believe that you should learn a lot about how higher education works in general, assuming you want to be in higher ed, of course.
It sounds like in being calculated, you found an advisor who is a good mentor as well to support you through, you know, making decisions about activities and, you know, making progress, switching people in your committee, all of that. So that in itself is very powerful. And I think really you're really giving us like some strategies for having for controlling your agency while you're in grad school. I feel like that's mm-hmm. really what you're providing. So I'm very grateful that you are so willing to share. Thank you so much, Lance, for imparting so much knowledge with us and sharing just so much again about like how to take control of your experience. As you know, the last segment is Lessons from the Track. What you got?
All right. I had to think about this one. Because there could have been many directions that could have went. One of my favorite rapper, those who know me well enough, one of my favorite rappers is T.I. So I'm gonna take it a little back.
Yeah.
Early 2000s. One of my favorite songs by him is I'm Flexin'. I love that song. Just because, I mean, while he is talking about, you know, stunting on people, and while that is something that he, you know, admires, he admires the stuff that he got, essentially, is the point of the song and how well he's doing. I think it does speak to, you know, how he, T.I., as a person who grew up in a certain environment, how he was able to get to where he was. Mm-hmm. And so basically, you know, if you hating on where he was, I'm gonna flex on you now. Right?
Right.
And so I think that's something that's, I'm not saying go around flexing on people. I'm not saying that. But I think it does speak to the idea that, you know, no matter what situation you come from, you can still make it and get to the certain status that would, you know, which you admire to be to.
I love it. Can people follow you on social media?
Yes, absolutely. My Twitter handle is @commandemotion, C-O-M-M and emotion. And my Instagram is the same thing.
So thanks again, Lance.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of Blacken in Grad School. For more content to help you on your grad school journey, check out blackingradschool.com. That's BLKIN gradschool.com. Love this episode? Head over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. Until next time.